This is CliffCentral.com.
He was gone, but only for a few hours. And now, he is back.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Get ready for a brand new episode.
Are you ready?
The O'Neill Africa Experience. Let's go.
Ready? Come on. One, two, three. Break it.
It's that time of the day. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the O'Neill Africa Experience.
The O'Neill Africa Experience.
The O'Neill Africa Experience.
This is CliffCentral.com.
Listen to me when I tell you this, man. This boy is lethal, both in production and everything else. He seems to be running the scene at the moment. His name is Techno. This is Rara. Good afternoon. Welcome to the O'Neill Africa Experience on a Friday afternoon. Running solo today is going to be an amazing show. We've lined up like all kinds of fun for you. I'm super excited about the first guest, though. And I also feel a little bit embarrassed because I realize she's been coming here for a long time to South Africa, but for some reason our paths just never crossed. But look, music is the universal language. So as long as I understand her talent, and I know what I mean by I understand her talent, this woman is super talented, and you will know in just a minute what I mean by that if you have not heard about Becca. Becca is live in studio with us today. Becca, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Well, I'm a little disappointed because you haven't never invited me in your show before.
You
but,
know what? There is...
But I'm a Christian, and so I prayed before
thank
I got
you,
in
thank
here.
God. Thank God you're a Christian.
Thank you for having me on your show.
Ah, man. Listen, we're grateful to have you here.
I'm glad to be here.
I have a feeling... This is what I enjoy. This is what I enjoy mostly about what I do. Because there are opportunities such as this one where for both my listeners who have never heard of you or who haven't heard your music, I and them at the same time will get to learn about you. Mm. So I suppose I'm hoping that the questions that I ask are representative of what they would like to know about you.
Yeah.
And you have a beautiful smile, by the
way. Thank
you. Yes. So talk to me about
Becca. Did you guys know he's really handsome? Maybe
wow.
You didn't know, but
why
I'm telling you.
Why you gotta do that to me? Why you gotta do that to me, Becca? Now we might have to kill the show early and get out of here. So Becca is in studio. Becca is all the way from Ghana.
Yeah.
And this is by no means your first time here in South Africa.
No, not at all.
When was the first time you were here?
2007.
What? 2007?
Yeah, because I had a song with Uncle Hugh Masekela, who just passed.
Yes.
And then, of course, some time in 2013 as well, got a song with Uhuru.
Yes.
As well, called Move. And so South Africa is my third home, I'd say, because I'm in Ghana and then Nigeria and then South Africa. So it's this is my home. I love it.
Let's just take it back a little bit. How did you get into the music industry?
Well, that's an easy question. I like that you ask me easy questions, but
that's what you think for now.
I know. As soon as I said, I looked at you and your eyes. Well, I've always sang. I sang at church. I sang at school, and in school, there's something called assembly where we meet in the morning and we listen to the news they have for us and information that's given to us. And I always sang there as well. But majorly, I sang at church all the time. Growing up, I came from a home that everyone sang. My father was in the choir. My mother was in the choir. My Big Brother sang, everybody just sang at church or a school choir or something. So I grew up in a home that was filled with music, was really musical. So music was really just a part of my life. And in some 2007, yes, I schooled in London, but then I was going home for holidays. Then I went into one of these places where there was a music event going on, met some of my schoolmates who happened to be doing music at that time, then introduced me to my record label at that time, EKB Records. And I remember he said, come to the studio. I said, no, I'm not going to do this. But then, you know, funny enough, I kept meeting this person over and over again. So I went in the studio once. There was already a beat there, and I started singing. And the first song, which was You Lie to Me, became a hit. And so I just started doing music. That's it.
Look, it's a process, right?
It is a long process. Yeah.
There is the part where you go into a studio and you end up having a hit. And then there's deciding what your sound is going forward. Yeah. Sonically, where are you and how did you arrive at that particular sound?
Great. I mean, I knew exactly what I wanted to do when I got into music, because I am the sort of person that really believes in culture. I believe in originality and Ghanaian. And Ghana is known for high life. And so it's something that I was never going to throw, because I knew that I couldn't do better than Beyonce. You know, so I had to do something that made people see me as a different artist. And my genre of music is high life. As much as I twisted and I add reggae dancehall sometimes, because I collaborate with people sometimes, and there's the Afropop that I used to do as well, and fuse it, primarily I would say that I'm a high life artist, and so that's what I've always wanted to do.
Okay, if you're joining us in studio all the way from Ghana, we are hanging out with Becca. It's about to get lit. Stay put.
You must give me your heart, yo.
This is CliffCentral.com.
Okay, we have to get serious now, Becca. Are you married?
Not yet.
Yeah, it's a good thing you're not married, because if you sound like this, why are you not married, Becca?
Maybe I've been waiting for you. Are you married?
Listen, I've always known that time would come where you'll just follow my leg.
Oh boy, right from heaven, eh?
I love your sound. There is something authentic about your sound, and the life elements are very obvious when I'm listening to it. Yeah. Talk to me about the production of this particular song.
This particular song, you can hear a lot of guitars live in there, a lot of drums live in there. This is a song with Mr. Easy. Becca and Mr. Easy was on my album last year, the unveiling album. And this particular song, I actually did the song all alone. And then I sat back and I said, you know what? What if I put someone on it? And that is me. I always finish doing a song fully before I put anybody on it. Because when I finish doing the song, I sit back and I'm like, okay, I feel like we could change that or make that better. So I sat back, and at that time, Easy was popping. But it wasn't just about that, because that's not how I determine who I choose for my songs.
Yeah.
What I do is I look for who's going to add value to the song, and if the beat and rhythm suits the person's style. And this style really suited Mr. Easy, and it made a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And so I contacted him, and my little brother said, okay, yeah, I'm going to do it. Come along, let's do it. So we just went into the studio. We already had a beat. I mean, of course, the song was ready. So I just took the parts that I wanted him to do, took my voices out and gave it to him. And he came up with this amazing concept, you know.
It's
and
an he amazing started recording. Collaboration.
And we started recording, and we said, you know what? I'm a live girl. I perform live. I don't perform with, you know, any backing, nothing. I like to be on stage live, because I believe that give people their money's worth, you know. So, and also, I just feel like, you know, for you to be really heard properly, then you need to go out there and do live, because we're in the studio all the time and a lot of things are tweaked, you know. So for people to really appreciate you, sometimes you need to show them what you have on stage. And I really like live, because then you can add all the elements. And the good thing about live is when you're making a mistake, you just, you know, correct it. So I like that, you know, unlike like a CD, when you make a mistake, you make that mistake, you can't go back, you know. So I like the whole live thing. And this song, a lot of instruments were played live, because I just like things to be live, because I believe when it's live, you can appreciate it more. And it has a longer life, and I call it my evergreen music. So every song that I do, I make sure that there's a live instrument in there. So that thing, something in there has to catch you, your attention. You know, you have to always remember it. I know if I tell you, what do you remember right now, you're probably going to say the guitars. You know, you remember the ending and the guitar. So that's how I do my music, and that's how this music was done.
You sound like somebody who is well experienced, and you, I love the fact that you also come across somebody who has a good head on their shoulder. Like you're very assertive about your artistry as well. talk to me about, I don't imagine it's been one lesson. I'd love to say, talk to me about your greatest lesson, but I imagine they vary, yeah, depending on what you're dealing with. But talk to me about your experiences, especially the ones that you would consider profound.
Okay. Now, there's one thing I'm going to tell you, and I think that this doesn't just go to, it's not just about myself, but I think a lot of people can relate to this, especially when you're in the music industry or in any industry at all, whether you're a doctor, a teacher, or a host, or presenter, an AOP, whatever you are. I remember when I started doing music, I mean, I have a big voice, and when I see a big voice, I sound very masculine sometimes when I sing. And I remember getting into the studio, and may he so rest in perfect peace, with Uncle Hugh Masekela. And the first time I sang, I remember when I'm listening to people who sounded a bit like Whitney and were able to do all the, I really wanted to sing that way. I wanted that voice. I kept saying, why can't I sing like that, you know? And then I remember in the studio, Uncle Hugh said to me, he said, you know, Becca, you have such a unique voice, and nobody, I've not heard anybody that has that kind of voice you have, because when you belch, right, it's really amazing. It's different. Do not try to be like anybody else. And he'll tell me, you're African, and stay true to yourself. You know, Uncle, he was all about Africanism. He's all about,
he was very African, honest about it.
Very honest about it. And he won't lie to me. He'll tell me, this voice you have, do not ever change it. I'm telling you, Becky, you're unique. And that's the kind of lessons that I learned, that, you know, everyone is created in a different way. You can never be like anybody else. You can try to be like somebody. You can take somebody as your mentor, and you can learn something from them. But every time when somebody will ask me, somebody will say, oh, you're my mentor and I want to be just like you, I tell them, I love that you want to be just like me, but you know what? You're much more than me, because you're better, you're unique, and you're different, and you can do things that I may never be able to do. So do not aspire to be just like me. Aspire to be better than I am. Improve your own artistry, your own art, your own act, and be a better person. Just take me, just like I have mentors. Mary Makeba, I was listening to him, you know, Rebecca Malope are people I listen to, you know. So I just tell people all the time that just stay true to yourself, follow your passion, be you, do not be deterred by what anybody says, you know. And that is a lesson that I've learned, that I've stuck to. So I mean, this industry has taught me to be true to myself, you know, to embrace my Africanism and that voice.
Listen, she has a new fan in me right now. I love how enlightened you are. It was very obvious when you walked in here that you're not just an artist. You own your artistry and you understand what it's about. So, you're going to perform for us.
Yes, sir. Okay. Yeah. Them they talk this and talk that. Them say stop this and stop that. If you know by dog, you by cat. If you know kill fly, you kill rag. Your relationship there for Facebook. But you know sabi cook. You the cry when you was that. Genia Ochre. For we, yeah, if I hear, you know the try. If I hear, for we, yeah, if I hear, say you the cry. If I hear, this love, you know, be by force. If you know, like, make you divorce. You know, be by force. Oh, if you know, like, make you divorce. This life, you know, be by force. If you know, like, make you divorce. You know, be by force, oh. If you know, like, make you divorce. I just got a DM from my crush. He promised to buy me a watch. He promised to buy me a Porsche. He's a cool guy, I thought as much. I just got a DM from my crush. He promised to buy me a watch. He promised to buy me a Porsche. He's a cool guy, I thought as much. WCW fell in love with you, MCM. Now you see your friends and you envy them. Take a look at your love life and friendship them. I bet you regret and you envy them. Mama wants you to marry, because she won't carry. Now you rush to go marry, because of iPhone and BlackBerry. If I hear, you know they try. If I hear, for who, yeah. If I hear, say you they cry. If I hear, this love, you know, be by force, oh. If you know, like, make you divorce, oh. You know, be by force. If you know, like, make you divorce. This life, you know, be by force, oh. If you know, like, make you divorce. You know, be by force, oh. If you know, like, make you divorce, young quay. I just got a DM from my crush. He promised to buy me a watch. Now wash. Now wash. Now wash. Hey. Now watch. know what?
I love your spirit, man. I love your spirit.
Thank you so much.
So what are your thoughts on love?
Oh boy, like that is a question I wanted to hear. Thank you. I always say that this is so cheesy, but like Michael Jackson will say, I'm a lover and not a fighter. I really am a lover. I think that, you know, a lot of times people talk about peace and there's so much war and there's hatred and things going all around the world. But, you know, the ultimate of all this, and I think one thing that's going to stop all these things is love. And the ultimate thing is love. Because when you have love, hurting somebody is the hardest thing for you to do. But it's not just about loving somebody else. The true thing in there is really loving yourself. If you love yourself, you love other people. I'm telling you. It's so, I mean, a lot of things happen in this world, and sometimes I go on social media and you see so much hate and so many things going on, and some of the messages I never reply, but every time I have to reply, I tell people, you know what, I think you should love yourself more, because when you love yourself more, you're going to learn to love others. Love is the ultimate, what is it called, the personal is the ultimate climax to everything. It is what makes everything survive. It's what, you know, thrives everything. It's what makes everything green and fresh. And I think for me, love is the ultimate.
I love this girl. Your frustrations, what really frustrates you?
Great. What frustrates me is this, that when I hear people undermine women, that really frustrates me. I'm feminist in a good way. I mean, I believe when somebody is wrong, you must say they're wrong. And whether it's a man or a woman or a child, people must be corrected. But I do not like it when people put women in a position where they look like they are the lesser vessels and people that are, you know, we're supposed to do certain things, and they put you in a category where what a man can do, a woman cannot do. I don't believe that is true. I believe that this 21st century woman is able and capable of doing anything they want to do. It frustrates me when people, when men out there, not just men, even women themselves, undermine themselves. And that's what kills me the most. When women in the same industry, women in the same field, actually look down upon their fellow women, and when they don't want to collaborate and don't want to come together and make things work, that really frustrates me. Because I believe, yo, whether you like it or not, I personally believe that women are able to do so much, and if we're able to just come together, there's so much we can conquer. So that frustrates me so much, especially when women are bringing their fellow women down.
All right, so I'm gonna throw words at you, different words. All right, the key thing is you have to say the first thing that comes to mind.
Let's do it.
The very first thing that comes to mind. Right?
I can't think. That's not fair. Right. This is my bold. You seem bold.
Water.
Drinking.
Beer.
Drinking.
Wine.
Tasty.
Flowers.
Beautiful.
Sex.
For the soul.
Kids.
Treasure.
Ghana.
Everything.
Fashion.
Important.
Chocolate.
Delicious.
Politics.
Needed.
Marriage.
If you want.
If you want.
It's not necessary for everybody to get married, I believe. I think people are going to marry, some are not going to get married. So if you want.
All right, cool. We're still hanging out with Becca. Another performance, final performance for the day.
Give me good loving like that. You know I love you right back. I go an extra mile, oh. Give my king all of my heart. I know we shout, I know one shout, oh. Oh, you do run my mind, you do read my head, oh. Oh, give me that sugar and spice. Give me so much joy in my life. This one no be washed, so. Nana, know I love you back, nana, eh. Or do you wait? I would do everything just to make you happy. Oh, honey, nana, eh, my man, my own. If I ever break your heart, you know, say na lie. This is Sakodi. Jamming man into na him, I say my bam, me tennis one, I'm a sorry, any resin, you know, she must see every walk on over. I'm running and fin, I know what it.
I love that. He's amazing. He's super talented,
yeah,
right?
No, you're trying to make me be a soccer dear. Come on.
He's super talented. So talk to me about Ghana. If I had never been to Ghana, mm-hmm. and you were to sell Ghana to me. Well, how would you sell Ghana to me?
Ghana is a free world. Ghana is a land full of rich resources, mighty talent. Ghana is Gold Coast. Ghana is it's homely, full of great culture, very diverse religion. Ghana is a place you must come to. Weather is beautiful all the time, and there's a lot of sea there if you'd like to swim. Come along. I just think that Ghana is home, and that is the word, is home. It's home to everybody, not just Ghanaians. It's home to whoever you are, irrespective of your race or your religion. Ghana is the right place to come to. And one more thing, if you like good food, the right place to come to is Ghana, especially if you like meat.
Well, you guys are a huge fan of meat, huh?
Yeah, and there's beautiful women as well.
Just like Botswana. Botswana has both of those. There is 5 cows to each individual in Botswana.
Oh, boy.
That's just how much meat we consume back home in Botswana. So how long are you around South Africa for?
I'm leaving tomorrow, unfortunately. But I'll be back.
Tragically.
I will be back.
What exciting activities did you get into while you're here?
Well, when I'm here, I like to eat a lot of ribs. There's nice pork ribs around. I like that a lot. You know, I like to go to Mandela Square. I've been here since I've been here. Every time I take a picture by the Mandela statue, it's something that is almost like, it's like a, I don't know what it is. Like, I'm drawn to it. Every time I pass by, I have to.
I did it
yesterday. I did it this morning. No, I'm doing it again because I'll go and eat around there. So that's really good. South Africa is really nice and warm, and then the diverse culture just welcomes me so much. And the people are friendly, and that's what I like about you guys. So when I come to SA, it's just really a lot of times about work.
Yeah.
But most of the time as well, I just want to come here, chillax, you know, chill and relax, and then also just meet good people.
When you're not making music in studio or performing, what is Becca doing?
Well, when I'm not making music, I'm traveling.
Your downtime,
I travel a lot.
Traveling.
I travel a lot, yes. I travel a lot, and I like to watch movies as well. So, but I travel a lot. In the past year, I've traveled from January to now, I've traveled to maybe like 8 countries already, different places that I've never been before. Budapest, Budapest, Greece, Santorini. I've been to Marbella.
Santorini is such a lovely place,
it is.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it is, but it was hot when I got there. It was so hot, but it was really lovely. Went to London, went to Paris, and then South Africa, and I'm going back home, and then I'm looking for my next destination.
Any exciting projects, collaborations?
Absolutely. I've got some really amazing collaborations coming up pretty soon. People from Ghana, from Nigeria, from outside as well, even in South Africa here. I love Casper. But one person I want to do a song with is Zahara. I already mentioned it there, so I'm hoping she can hear this.
Have you tried reaching out to her?
I did once, but I don't have her contact. I went on her Instagram and I tried to send a message. But I really love her. I just really, really, really love her.
I think you guys would be amazing together.
She's got soul, and I like that. Yes.
Okay, can I try and set it up?
Yes.
Really?
Please.
Can I try and set that up? Okay,
look
cool.
At me.
Okay, so next time you're back here,
yes.
Can we promise the listener that you are going to premiere a song between Becca and Zahara?
Please, let's do this.
Okay, I give you my word. This
yes.
is going to happen.
Woo! I love her.
Listen, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks,
when do you know when next you're back here?
I'm not too sure, but as soon as I get home, I'm processing my visa.
Okay.
So anytime I'm coming here.
Listen, this is your home.
Anytime, in September.
Anytime when you find time, please make sure that you come by and you stop by, you hang out with us.
I will.
And bring us something nice. Bring me, what is it? Bitter cola.
Bitter cola? That's for marriage, you know.
Is it for marriage?
Yeah, and you're supposed to bring that to my father.
So, really? And I'm asking you for it.
And you're asking me for it. Yo, pay my bride price.
Wow. So, wait. You need to talk about that. There is no way we're not going to talk about bitter cola.
Yes, let's do it.
Because I only discovered it.
It's really, really traditional. A lot of people, when they're getting married, it's something they send along to the parents, the bride or the father, they send it. So, once they buy it, then it's acceptance. You know, but in Ghana as well, there are things like kente cloth, which you have to take along as well. And there's a few things like the Bible, depending on the religion, you send it as well.
Yeah.
So, but bitter cola is a sign of acceptance, it's a sign of welcoming. So that's really, really important in a lot of culture. Not just Ghanaian, I know Nigeria as well, they do that. So,
and it's got incredible healing properties.
It does, apparently, yeah, it does. It's quite bitter for me, I like sweet things, so.
Yeah, I actually took a bite out of it. It completely decimated my taste buds.
It will, yeah. It will, but it's really, really good, apparently. You know, okay. So, yes.
Listen, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you
we really love your spirit. Please come back. Make sure she comes back, okay? All right. Becca, ladies and gentlemen. My king, Nana A,
my mama, yo. Welcome back. Welcome back to the O'Neill Africa Experience.
You ready? Come on. 1, 2, 3. It's that time of the day. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the O'Neill Africa Experience.
The O'Neill Africa Experience. Welcome back. Welcome back to the O'Neill Africa Experience. Go.
First of all, let me tell you about the first time I heard this song, I was blown away. I was like, how is it possible that she didn't premiere this song on my show? Because she had been here, and then I think after she went back, I don't know whether she was in Kenya or someplace in the continent, and then I came across the song. I lost my mind. Because as you guys know, this is my sound. Like, this was made specifically for me. It is my honor to welcome the beautiful Victoria Kimani is live with us in studio. And in the background, this is China Love.
Hey, hello.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Firstly, let's talk about China Love before we go into anything else, because you and I have a lot to catch up on.
Yes, we do.
The concept behind China Love.
Yes.
So refreshing. But tell us, what was happening here?
Okay, well, the song was produced by Dre Beats. Shout out to Dre Beats. Now, you know what? I wanted to make a record. This is one of the first records I put out after I got released from the deal I was signed to before. So, like, I just need my own sound. Like, I don't want someone to dictate the sound for me.
Yeah.
So I talked to Dre Beats, and I was like, I need this particular track that's, you know, dancehall, but I want to be allowed to sing. I want it to be R&B and find a way to kind of create an Afro fusion in that same mix. So and at the time I was going through a time where, like, yo, I just kept experiencing friends of mine who, it was just like they weren't being authentic, you know what I mean? I don't know, everyone has people like that around in their,
yeah,
in their life, I think, especially when you're working hard, you're on the come up, and you don't know why some people gravitate to you. So, you know, we always kind of affiliate China with, like, you can get everything in China, like, literally,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
made in China. And some things are not 100% authentic, and I think they've kind of made, you know, a name for themselves as being hustlers and go-getters worldwide. Like, everybody knows the Chinese, you know, they manufacture all kinds of goods. And growing up, like, I remember looking at random pieces of merchandise, like, and you never know that they're not real, like a Duracell battery. And it's,
yeah,
like, you look at it closely and it says Duracell. And I'm like, what? A battery? A whole fake battery? Like, same thing with, like, I bought this Adidas shirt. I thought it was real Adidas. And when I got home, it said Adidas. Like, the D was just an A. I was like, yo, that's messed up. So, you know, I just kind of made a metaphor out of it. Not to say that everything from China is unauthentic, because that's absolutely untrue, but, you know, that's kind of where I was coming from. I don't want an authentic love that you think is real at first, and then later on you look closely and you're like, man, you got me. Like, that's basically what the concept was.
This is what I love about you, because you there's a lot of thought behind everything you do. I mean, this is just taking me back to the concept behind Safari. Your last album. I remember you started teasing ahead with these scrumptious pictures for the longest. So I needed a cup to drool into for months, and I was wondering what was going on. And then boom, you're releasing an album and it's called Safari. And I happened to listen to it. What a beautiful project.
Thank you.
There's always imagination behind everything that you do. And I wonder, do people realize, your audience, the people who consume your music, your artistry, do they get that? Do you feel like they get where you're coming from?
Not always. Especially here recently, I'm really looking at my followers sideways, like, yo, you guys, why are you even following me? You guys don't appreciate me the way you're supposed to. No, I just put out an EP called Afropolitan not long ago. And I've been rolling out the visuals for the EP. And I find that, especially on social media, what people react to is like things that have nothing to do with hard work or music. Yeah. Like literally, it could be the most random sexy picture or maybe a picture with a nice outfit. And then you'll see like this drastic difference in likes. And I'm like, sometimes I don't know why people follow me. You know what I mean? But I will say that the true fans, the people who have been riding with Victoria Kimani, listening to my music, they're definitely seeing a growth. They're seeing a new direction music-wise. And I'm very proud of that because I believe, like, as an artist, you're supposed to continuously evolve. You can't remain stagnant. I can't keep doing the same sound over and over again simply because that's what's happening around me. So, yeah, I'm just grateful and I'm blessed that the few people, whoever they are, who have been riding with me are still, like, they're evolving with me and they're accepting different sounds as I continue to experiment.
The O'Neill Africa Experience, the home of African talent. Welcome back. Welcome back to the O'Neill Africa Experience.
I could be wrong, but you're true R&B. Like, you're R&B to the core, to the bone.
It's crazy. It's so crazy because I have so many challenges when I'm in the studio with certain people.
Yeah.
And they just, I mean, we fight. We go back and forth. I remember I was in the studio not long ago with Techno, and he's just like, man, you don't even have to sing. Just bump, bump, all over the track. And I'm like, bro, that's for you to do. But like, I have like it's like a spiritual calling to do this. And to be honest, like, I don't care if you guys never give me a penny. Like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to die doing this, you know, and I'm not going to start changing who I am and changing my vibe.
Look, I can tell. I'm a huge R&B fan. So I pick it up in your tone. The first time I heard you sing and I was listening to your overall cadence, your inflections, I was like, this is an R&B singer. And and by the way, the first time I heard you, it wasn't even an R&B song.
Yeah.
And I was saying to somebody, and I was like, no, this she's an R&B singer. Because I'm technical, like, that's how I consume music.
Yeah.
From a very technical point of view. And I could pick it up. So whenever I hear songs like China Love, I wish people could hear it the way I hear it. And I wish it could translate to just more than what seems to be an experimental sound. Mm-hmm. Like, where people really appreciate it for what it is, and people actually go out there and buy it.
Yeah.
Because it's that good.
Yeah.
So I always try and place myself in your shoes. I'm like, I wonder, especially because of, we exist at a time where everything comes in the form of a wave.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
this
yeah.
wave just comes, everything, and then it disappears.
Exactly.
And if you are not true to your sound, mm-hmm. you're bound to just find yourself being all over the place.
Yeah.
And you have found your sound and you seem to be sticking to it.
Yeah, definitely. And the cool thing about China Love is, like, I didn't realize that, especially in where I'm from in Kenya, we have a very interesting relationship with the Chinese. So it really, really, really hit well for me at home.
Yeah, no, so listen, and, East Africa, I know.
Right? Well, specifically in Kenya. I don't know what it did in Tanzania or Uganda, but I know in Kenya that song did really well for me. And it was one of my first videos to hit 1 million views in a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, like, that's so crazy, because even shooting the music video was the most effortless video I've ever shot. I don't think I paid anything for the video. Like, I literally had some guys hold a 5D. I shot in Beijing. I had a I had a show in Beijing and I shot some of the scenes there. And then the part with Tehran from Rock City, we had to shoot that in Chinatown, New York. So I literally just took all the footage, put it on my hard drive, and sent it to an editor.
Yeah.
And that was the only thing I paid for, was the editing. But, like, it was so effortless. I think people kind of just, people can feel when something's authentic at the end of the day. Like, regardless of what, I guess, wave is going on. I think if people can feel that, all right, this is actually authentic. This is you now. You know? This is not you trying to fit in. This is you actually just on your own wave and, you know. But I think it's crazy. It really, really is crazy. This African industry of ours has taught me quite a bit, O'Neal. From the last time I was here till now, I'm just looking like, wow, this is...
Well, that's why you're here. Why don't you tell us?
Right?
Where have you been? I should have started with this. Where have you been, Victoria?
I've been everywhere. Okay, so I did a nationwide tour in Kenya. So far, we've done 5 cities. I want to go and do a second half of the tour, do another 5. And that was interesting for me. That alone was like the hugest learning experience because I had never been on a tour before. I'd never put myself on a real actual tour with my band and the dancers and the whole crew. I mean, we were traveling with the stage. It was this giant truck which transformed into a stage.
One of those sound rigs.
Yeah, yeah, we went and set up everywhere. And it was so interesting, like this, the type of people that, you know, that actually knew my music in different parts of Kenya. And I think that was so necessary for me to do because a lot of people didn't have access to me, and then I didn't want to keep waiting for promoters to call me. So I'm like, let me put myself on tour. So I did that. And as you know, Lagos is still a very big part of my life. I still have my home there. I make a lot of my music there as well. So I'm always kind of back and forth.
You were with the major at some point.
Yeah, then, I'm like indie major, kind of.
Are you with any at the moment?
No, I'm independent now.
Okay.
I'm an independent artist.
That can't be easy, though.
No, it's not. It's not. But I feel like, you know, even when I was signed, I was doing a lot of independent things.
Yeah.
So, you know, I kind of prepared myself for it mentally. But it's not easy, especially from the promotional standpoint. Because it's easy to create the art. It's easy to shoot the videos. But, you know, once it's time to plug your music and get it out there, it's a whole new ballgame. Like, that's... Yeah. I mean, what, you know, just having the music and the visuals is, like, 30% of the work. Like, there's literally so much other things, so many other things that you have to do. So, I mean, I think that's the part for me that's been the most challenging. But I'm in a good space.
One of the things that I enjoy doing, especially when I hang out with you, I know I can take the conversation any and everywhere, and you'd go there with me. I want to talk to you about something that seems to be prevalent at the moment. There seems to be a lot of depression particularly in the media industry. Look, I don't think this is the first time this has happened. It has always been there. Mm-hmm. Except it wasn't such a low-hanging fruit then, but it seems, I think with the advent of social media, everything seems to be a little bit more illuminated. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is the case? If you can let me into the background, if you can share a backstory of what happens behind the scenes that sort of triggers depression or this calamity of sorts, if I can call it that, that we're witnessing at the moment. What really happens out there?
You mean in when it comes to entertainers?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, so many things. So many things. And like, if I didn't have like my relationship with God, I know for a fact I'd be like super depressed right now. Because I mean, some people, like, literally from childhood, they have this dream of being an entertainer.
Yeah.
And when they hit a certain age, they feel like if they haven't accomplished what they, you know, certain things like that, or maybe even you could actually be at the top of your game, and maybe you take people's opinions too much to heart. Maybe you see yourself as being greater than you are, or whatever it is that could make someone depressed. But the worst thing that I've seen is the drugs. Drugs is the worst thing you could do. No, but I mean, I don't even want to mention names, but some of the top artists, even in the continent, I mean, they're drinking lean. They're constantly high, constantly, and they can't do without it. They can't operate without it. They can't they need to always feel this wave of an out-of-body experience, or I'm here but I'm not here.
Yeah.
You know, even just for them to go and do something basic, like an interview, like, you have to be high first. Like, why, bro? Like, what are you trying to cover up? And especially some people, again, I won't mention names, but it's like, wow, you're so blessed. And I look at them and I'm like, wow, you're actually on top. You've got millions of followers, but you still need to self-medicate. So, you know, I just believe, man, God, that's been my balance.
Yeah.
Because if I decide to go the other way, that's complete destruction for me. Yeah. It's complete destruction for me. But I mean, there's so many different reasons why a person could be depressed.
Yeah.
They could literally just have, there's mental illness. We don't talk about that much in Africa.
Yeah, we don't.
I mean, there's pain and hurt from the past. Some people have been like hurt as children, and they never got over it.
You just thrust into the limelight.
Yeah.
And you don't know how to balance.
Yeah, absolutely. Some people, the fame and I think things became too available to them too quickly, too prematurely, and they didn't have the right guidance around them. Some people have yes men around them. Some people are not being honest, you know, with them. And, you know, I think, I don't know, there's so many things. I've even had some moments where I'm like, man, all the people around me are, I'm just like, you guys really support me for real? Are you guys really, 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 like, do you guys have my back? Or are you just waiting to see when something great happens for me so you can join in on the ride?
Yeah.
You know, and that alone is enough to depress a person, you know? But, like, when you get back to your core and, like, why you started doing this, why you started doing the music or doing whatever it is that you love, that's always, like, the saving grace. Because it's like, wow, I love music too much to allow anything outside of music destroy me.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the O'Neill Africa Experience.
Look here, O'Neill. Now look here, okay?
When a black woman says to you, look
when
here.
A black woman says, look here, or when she says, you know what?
She's bringing facts.
Now, look here, O'Neill. I didn't want to tell you this story, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Just last night, there's somebody that you've never done anything physical before, ever, 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 not even kissed. But I've liked this guy for like a whole year and like a half, right? Finally, we're both in the same city at the same time.
Yeah.
This guy had, now I know for a fact that we have a connection, and it is romantic, both from both sides. We stayed in touch, but not as much as I would like to over this the course of this past year. He wanted literally for me to go home with him this same night. Maybe his idea of romance, or how he wanted to express his love, was instant, and how I wanted to express mine was, I want to see where we can go. I'm not trying to rush into that, because as soon as I do, like, I don't know, everything changes after you have sex. And he's like, why are you trying to stop the mood? Like, this is where the mood is taking us.
Wow.
Why are you trying to stop it? So it has to be over the course of time, because if you can't jump and say anything about love or romance in the first, like, if people are not willing to be patient with you, already they're not showing signs of love. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you're not willing to... You didn't even know how I laugh. You didn't know how I smell. You just were ready. Like,
okay.
You don't love me. You just love my doggy style. If I gave it to you. Sorry, I don't know if I can say that on the radio. That's an old saying, by the way, that I used to say with my friends. And they'd be like, I love you. And I'm like, you don't love me. You just love my doggy style. But no, genuinely, like, I was just like, man, like, that whole year of me liking you, like, it just went down the drain just now. Like, and I don't like you anymore, because that selfish, like, you're trying to force me to do, not force, because that's taking it somewhere else, but you're trying to insist and trying to convince me to do something that you're ready for that I'm not ready for.
Yeah.
And again, okay, those are the type of men that I keep
finding. So we're dealing with character here.
Yes.
With this particular... Can I call him an asshole?
I think so.
Yeah. With this particular individual, we're dealing with character, with his character.
Yeah.
This does not change in any way how you... Okay, it does change your perception of him now.
Yeah.
But in terms of whatever connection you made, it doesn't change it in any way, shape, or form. The fact that you have known each other for this long and you carried him someplace. Where was that place? There's a place where you stored him, where you carried him. In order for you to recognize him,
yeah,
in that way, not physically,
yeah,
you carried him someplace.
Definitely.
So a relationship began at some point.
In my head, I guess.
A long time ago, way before he started exhibiting signs of being a predator.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what it is.
Yeah, but it changes. Like, once you get to know, that's why it's important to get to know someone, because it can change what you... Sometimes we like people because we like the idea of them, or we like the idea of where you are a radio presenter, I'm an artist. This would be a great relationship. It's like just the idea of not really getting to know who that person is. And those are the things that blind us.
And I think me and Victoria should go on a date. And I'm putting it out there. I'm really putting it, guys, I'm being serious. Y'all know I'm single. She's clearly single. Because this man, I will not allow her to see this man
again. Can you believe it, man? Just last night, man, I was so disappointed. I was like, wow.
Even his argument is so weak.
Oh, man, like, his game was horrible.
The mood?
It was horrible. Yeah, he was like, something's flowing and you're stopping it. And like, how are you, that's not cool at all. And he was like really complaining. I think he probably expected. And again, that energy thing. I could give off a sexual energy, but that doesn't mean I want to have sex with you.
Of course.
Like, and it doesn't mean I'm ready to do that now. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just crazy, man. People are selfish. And those, again, these are the type of people that I meet.
Yeah, you need to change where you're shopping.
You know what?
You need to change your method
Once
of
again.
Shopping.
Yeah, I think I do.
Listen, Victoria, we could do this. I think we need a podcast together.
Right?
Jackie, please work on it.
That would be lit.
So every time she's here, we do this. Like, we just... Look, we just gone.
You know,
verbal stream of consciousness between the two of us.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, actually.
It's always dope doing this. This is the one time when you've been here and I didn't make you perform.
Yeah, I know.
So you're lucky. You're lucky today.
No.
But we found something else in the process.
Yeah?
We discovered that we just genuinely disagree on a lot of things.
You see?
How long are you around for?
I'm around for another, 5 days? 4 days?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So talk to me real quick about this project you're working on.
Okay.
It's the last EP, right? Is it already out there?
Yeah, it's out. It's called Afropolitan. You can find it on iTunes and it's on Spotify. It's on all the major digital platforms. And I've put out 3 visuals so far. I'm really proud of this work. The reason why I called it Afropolitan is because I feel like I'm literally a mixture of just that. I'm African, I'm metropolitan. I think I identify with global thinking Africans and the Africans that they see Africa from a global standpoint. They don't just see it as I'm African. I find that I identify a lot with, I mean, you can hear my accent, like, you know, I was born in LA, so there's a lot of Africans in the diaspora that have felt very disconnected from Africa for so long. And I think our family members have something to do with that. If we're not pronouncing every word perfectly correct in our language, our native tongue, it's like, oh, you're not African enough.
Yeah.
So this is my identity. This is who I am. I'm very African and I'm very, very metropolitan. So but the music reflects that. I think when you go through, it's 7 songs, there's no features. It genuinely reflects, it's Afro sounds, but it's from a worldly standpoint. And it's flowing in that lane of China love as well. So I'm very proud of my work. Afropolitan, make sure you check it out. And my music really is my boyfriend right now. It hasn't let me down yet, so...
Victoria Kibadi, ladies and gentlemen. Guys, everything will be available as a podcast an hour from now. Thank you very much for doing this with us. You know I'm a fan.
Thank you.
And it always breaks my heart when you come into the country and you come and hang out. Like, and I get to find out on social media that you went. That's why you end up on dates.
How are you going to say that? is at the end of the interview. I can't even defend myself. Oh, God.
But much love. Much love. We out of here. Thanks a lot to my producer, Jackie. We out of here. And we're playing out with China Love.
Yeah. Go.
Take it low, break it down low. Roll it up and read.
This is CliffCentral.com.